Every word you speak activates the angels or ties their hands. Every word you speak loosens the demons or ties their hands, directly or indirectly. And when we are worshiping God and singing songs like these, it is as if you just spent the last almost two and a half hours praying. Yes, it is prayer. Prayer of praise and worship. Loosing God's power and will and blessings into your life. Taking you from level to level. From glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. Says that we are changed from glory to glory as we behold God's presence. God wants us to go from precept to precept, from line to line, from glory to glory. It's a choice. The choice is, how much of God do you want? How much of God do I want? For you can have as much of God as you want. All of God, God Himself, lives in your spirit. But how much of God do you want to let out of that holy of holies, your spirit, through the veil that separates your spirit from the rest of your being, through the veil of your heart? How much of God do you want impacting your soul, your mind, your brain, your memory, your five senses, every cell, every organ, every system, your life, your home, your neighborhood, your family? How much of God do you want in all of that? And it's your choice. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, God says, I give you a choice. This day I give you a choice. Choose life or death. Choose blessing or curses. And I would add to that, choose how much of God you want. And so how much of God we choose depends on what we do with our lives. For God sent Jesus to pay the price that you can have as much of God in your life as you want. So today, we're going to look at some of the wonderful benefits, blessings, nature of what Jesus has paid for you. It belongs to you already. And this outline is called You Are. You Are. In Christ Jesus, you are all these things. In Christ Jesus, meaning if you're born again, which is the greatest benefit of all, you're born again and God comes to live in you. That is the greatest benefit. But once you're born again, here are all the benefits that are available to you. And they come to you as you make a choice. How much of God do I want? And we make that choice by choosing to continue in the Word. We can simply be born again and go to heaven. But we can, as John 8, 32 says, Jesus says, you can choose not just to be a believer, but to be a disciple. And if you are a disciple, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you continue in His Word, you become His disciple, and you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Because as you continue in His Word, as you study, believe, speak and do, you write His Word, you engraft His Word in your heart, the same way you might engraft an orange onto a grapefruit tree. You engraft it in your heart, it becomes part of you. And James 1:21 says, as you speak that word which has been engrafted in your heart, it sets your soul free, and you go from level to level through all these various levels. The Holy Spirit has moved up on the world to reveal more and more truths at various levels, starting with the first major wave of the Spirit with Martin Luther, the wave of grace, and then the wave of baptism, and the wave of evangelism and missions. Then the Pentecostal wave of being Spirit-filled, the wave of healing, the wave of faith, the wave of prosperity, the word wave, the wave of cleansing. And today we are in the wave of cleansing as the Holy Spirit continues to move forward into the wave of being led by the Spirit of God, the wave of unity, unity with God, the wave of unity. More and more, I'm starting to call that the wave of unity. And as we move more into unity with God, in unity with His wills, we move into the final wave of authority and dominion. How much of that wave do you want to take? We can see churches popping up all along the waves. They come to a certain point and they've had enough of God. This is it. We found the truth. And they put down their roots there and they stay there. And I've been staying there for decades, for centuries, in the same spot. And we get to make that same choice. How much of God do we want? Me, I want all of God that I can find. And so I put a list of things here. And people come along. And the Bible says, when you see the word of God and you believe it, and believing in your heart means you're going to speak and act on it. When you believe it, then you go from one level to that level. Your heart is softened and you move up to that level. But if you see it and you don't believe it, then your heart is hardened and you remain at the previous level. And so this is what the word of God says. And so Psalm 17 verse 8 says, you are the apple of God's eye. I want to be the apple of God's eye. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, you are His special creation. You are His workmanship made for His purposes. Hebrews 9:12 says, you're redeemed from all your sins. The blood of Jesus washed away all your sins to cleanse you for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pastor Matthew taught on this one line, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's doing a series called What You Are, and You Are Righteous. It's not a series every week. It's a series whenever the Holy Spirit releases them to do it. Galatians 3 verse 13, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Whoa. I believe all of us here believe that. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Curse of the law is identified in Deuteronomy 28. All the sickness and diseases that are listed, one after the other. All the terrible things. And ends by saying, and all the ones that are not listed here. We've been redeemed from all that. If you believe it, if you speak it, if you act on it. 1 Peter 2:24. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the healed of the Lord. You're not trying to get healthy. You're the healed of the Lord. Jesus took your sicknesses and diseases. At the same time, He took your sins. At the same time, you got saved. He made you healed. But the devil is a liar and is trying to steal your healing. And your battle is not with God trying to release healing into your life. No, your battle is against the lies of the enemy who's trying to deceive you into thinking that you've not been healed. You are the healed of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Jesus Christ, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. In a chapter on finances. The Bible is so logical to the smallest detail and to the greatest overview. If you look at this, you see how they all fit together. How they all need to go together. It's like different facets of a diamond. You can't have all the facets of the diamond minus one facet. If one face is missing, the diamond is going to look very weird and fall apart and not function. You're justified by the words of your mouth. Matthew 12, 37. What does that mean? It means all the things we just read belong to you and you can walk as if you don't sin. But it depends on what your mouth says. Because your mouth looses the angels into your life, looses God's blessing into your life, or loses the devil. You say, I've been healed by the strap of Jesus. Healing can come to you. You say that you're sick, sickness can come to you. If all these things are true, then you should be a mountain mover. Mark 11:23 says, you can move mountains if you don't doubt in your heart. You can move mountain, any mountain, a physical mountain, a spiritual mountain, an emotional mountain, a financial mountain, or a healing mountain, sickness mountain. You can move it by the words of your mouth if you don't doubt in your heart. Acts 16:25-26. You're an earth shaker. You're an earthquake producer. You're also an earthquake stopper. Paul and Silas were arrested. And at midnight, they've been beaten. They're tied in stocks in the inner prison with a guard whose life depends on making sure they don't escape. And at midnight, they're singing praises to God. singing praises to God. And as they sing praises to God, and God inhabits the praises of his people, and he starts tapping his foot to music, his foot creates an earthquake and sets them free. And God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for you. You are an earth shaker. You're a giant killer. David, a lad, killed the giant Goliath. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would come against the armies of the living God? He says, I'm going to take your head today. 1 Samuel 17, in particular 45 and 46. David did that because the devil is always trying to tell you there are giants in your life. Well, he's a liar. They're not giants. But it doesn't make any difference because you are a giant killer. Right? So giants, they got to come down. Giants, they got to fall. You loose yourself from the bondages if you believe it, if you speak it, if you act on it, if you want that much of God in your life. If all these things are true, then you must be an overcomer. Let's turn to 1 John, book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. We are born of God, we overcome the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is our faith? Our faith is believing in our heart that the word of God is true. And when you believe something in your heart, it becomes part of you. When it's part of you, you act reflexively. You act without realizing it based on what's in your heart. It's an instantaneous subconscious decision. You don't have to process it through your mind. You want to hang around my wife, and you can tell if Satan tries to challenge her, because everything will be quiet, and suddenly you hear, no, in the name of Jesus. And when you hear that, the cats run for cover, the dogs run, everybody runs, including the devil. Because it's in her heart. First sign of a challenge, the word no in the name of Jesus comes out, and not, why do we call 911? It's in her heart. Verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are a world beater. You are a world overcomer. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God. God said to Moses in Exodus, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. God's whole point is to dwell among his people and fellowship with them. That's why he's gone to all this process from speaking on the mountain through the temple, through the tabernacle, through the temple, all the way to dwelling inside you, that he can speak to you and work with you, and you can have fellowship with him, and his power becomes available to you. You are the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are an ambassador of heaven. How could you not be? You're born again. You're in the family of God. God lives inside you, and you're representing heaven. You're an ambassador of heaven, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And because you're an ambassador of heaven, you have diplomatic immunity on earth. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're a peculiar people. You're living at a higher plane. You're living by spiritual laws, not physical laws. And the physical laws have to bend. The physical truth must bow their knees to the spiritual truth when you use the name of Jesus. Because every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. Revelation 1 verse 6 says, you are a king. You are a king. You don't have to be intimidated by meeting royalty. You don't have to be rude as I was, but you don't have to be intimidated. Okay? I mean, I was scheduled, three of us were scheduled to be on the radio in the Philippines, and we had just met a princess. Actually, it's Princess Maria of Malta. And we're there talking, and I realize we're late. And so I'm excuse myself, and I'm leaving. And my wife excuses herself, and she's leaving. And this other pastor is there, heavily engaged with her. And I couldn't get him to go. So I reach over, and I put my arms on both of them, which is what I'd normally do. But she's a princess. I guess in princess rules, you don't suddenly put your hand on a princess. But I did. Pull them away. See? You don't have to be rude, which I guess that was rude. I didn't mean to be. But don't be intimidated. You're a king. Revelation 5:10 says, You are a priest. You are a priest. You're a king and a priest. King gives you the right to have power and wealth over the physical aspects of life. And priest gives you the right to have the spiritual power over everything else. Romans 8, verse 17. You're joint heir with Jesus. You're a joint heir with Jesus. Everything the Father has been given to Jesus. He owns it. And you are a joint heir. You own it fully as he owns it fully. You both own it fully. Which means it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the using. But you have to take it and use it by the rules that have been set up by the spiritual laws. Just like when you put your money in the bank. It's your money, but you still have to follow the rules to get it out of the bank. So you're joint heir with Jesus, but you still have to follow the spiritual laws, which of course you want to do anyway, because you want to do things God's way, not your way. John 15, 15. Let's turn to John. This is the Big John, chapter 15. Big John, chapter 15. Let's start in verse 12. Well, let's start in verse 11. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He wants your joy to be full. That's why he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. He wants your joy to be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13, greater love had no man than this, when a man laid on his life for his friends. Jesus laid his life down for you and me. And he's saying, you can have all of God you want, but the more of God you get, is the more of yourself you have to give up. The more of God there is in your life, is the less there is of you. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And finally, John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant does not know what the Lord is doing. But I've called you friends. You are a friend of God. Abraham, the Bible says, was a friend of God. The Bible also says, you are a friend of God. For all the things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So you are a friend of God. You're the apple of God's eye. You're an overcomer, an ambassador of heaven, a king, a priest, joint heir with Jesus, and a friend of God. You are all these things. Do you want to live in them? Do you want more of God? Do you want to keep moving from level to level, from glory to glory? It's all your choice. Psalm 82, verse 6. Let's turn to Psalm 82. Keep a mark on John if you haven't gone by there. We're going to come back to John in a few minutes. Psalm 82. Psalm 82 is very interesting. If you go into most Christian churches in this country and you say, we're children of the Most High God, people say, yeah, yeah, and they'll all shout and celebrate with you. But if you go in there and quote the first part of that sentence, they'll probably kick you out. Same sentence, same verse. If you go in and say, you're gods, they'll kick you out. Most churches. Psalm 82, verse 6. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Psalm 82, verse 6. You're children of the Most High God. 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, beloved, what manner of love that we might be called the sons of God. We are sons of God. All of us are sons and daughters of God. And finally, going back to John. Going to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 30, we pick it up in 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, "For good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" We just read it, Psalm 82, verse 6. He's saying, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came," and the scripture cannot be broken, scripture cannot be in error, the writer of the scripture could not have made a mistake. It's kind of interesting. If you think of all the people saying, "Oh, we believe the Bible to the extent it's translated correctly." I guess Jesus didn't have that revelation. "Say ye of the Father, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, that you are blaspheming," because Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." So he's saying, "Why are you saying I'm blaspheming? Because I say I'm the Son of God, when the scripture, which cannot be wrong, says you are gods." He didn't say that to make peace with them. He said that to speak truth. So if all these things are true, and you stop to think about it, there is a logical conclusion. At least one, there are many, but here's one. See, if you can do all these things, if you're justified by the words of your mouth, so that you can live as if you have no sin by the words of your mouth, if all your sins have been paid for, then the wages of sin have been dealt with. If your sins have been paid for, how can you be penalized with the wages of sin? And the wages of sin are death and all that which leads to death. Accident, sickness, disease, infirmity. All that can affect you. If all these things are true, which we know they are. And that's what Romans 8 verse 2 says. Romans 8 verse 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So if you're set free from the law of sin and death, that means your sins are paid for, the consequences are paid for, you don't have to get sick, you don't have to have an accident, you don't have to die. Which means that you won't die. So there has to be scriptures that say that. And actually, there are quite a few. Many. Enough for me to have taught in it for 3.5 years. 1 Corinthians 15:51. For example, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We should not all die." King James says sleep. We should not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. Why are we going to be changed? Because those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Those who are alive and remain shall be raptured. Here are very many, many, many letters. If you look at where parts of the body of Christ have stopped, you see some have stopped. They got born again and they stopped. Some got born again and they believed about healing, but they didn't believe about Spirit of God on you, Spirit of God in you. They didn't believe in prosperity. All the way along the line, you can see them stopping. All the way up to the near the end where this people freak out. You say you don't have to die and they freak out. What do you mean you don't have to die? Everybody dies. Doesn't make any difference what everybody does. What makes a difference is, what does the Bible say? And by the way, not everybody dies or has died. Enoch didn't die, neither did Elijah. Okay? So we have two examples. And God is no respecter of persons. And so all these things, you just read them. Now, if you read them, if you heard them, God says, if you can think of it, I can do better. If you dare ask, hope, or think it, God says, I can do better than that for you. Well, you just all thought it. You may not have believed it, but you thought it. Whether or not you believe it, it's up to you, which I know everybody here believes. But many people won't. But if you think it, God can do better. If you dare to hope, ask, or pray, he can do better. And that's called Ephesians 3:20. And that says there is no limit on the number of levels you can go through drawing closer to God. Because every time you get to a level, you can think more. And every time you think more, God can do better. And that's why he's infinite. And that's why we only know in part. Hope this has been a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.